TheBarbarianRadio.com.
Aloha, this is Enki. You know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satayuga. Time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens, and the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding. No more falsehoods or derisions. Golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelations, and the mind's true liberation.
Loving right for you now at this time of your life.
Celibate?
Tantric? Bisexual?
Trisexual?
Polyamorous?
Monogamous?
Swinging? Pansexual?
Cyber-loving and more.
What's important is that you choose whatever love style is right for you at this time of your life.
Call 646-649-0893 and join our chat room. On Love Styles Radio, you learn how to make whatever style of loving you choose work ethically, considerately, and effectively.
And here are your hosts, Sasha and Janet Lesson.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Aquarian Radio, AquarianRadio.com. And this is an episode of a new show that we're launching today for 2018 called Tantra Talk. And our guests are Scott and Melanie McClure. And my co-host is Dr. Sasha Lesson. And I think what we're going to have to do is mute our phones in between because we're getting some feedback, and I'm not sure why that's happening. But hi, sweetheart. Are you there? Sasha.
I'm here, but there's a mute button through my phone. I don't know what that means.
Okay, never mind. Don't mute. And it sounds like you're down a well, and I'm not sure what to do about that. So this may not work. We might have to try another platform. So,
I'll just come next to you and yell in your ear. I'll come next to you and yell in your ear.
Okay, come next to me. Okay, we're going to hang up that one. And that might eliminate some of our feedback. So come on in here, honey. We'll talk to each other on the phone. All right. I'm switching over to speaker on this. So we're going to try that as well. Okay. Okay. Can you hear me? Let's see.
Yep.
Scott, can you hear me?
Yes.
Melanie.
Scott.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, we're figuring out the bugs on the system. I don't know why it's just not working very well, but we'll power through this. So, anyway, welcome to 2018. How is everything for you?
Fantastic. We're kicking off the new year with a bang, and lots of exciting things happening to spread Tantra to the world.
Right. This is our Tantra outreach world. And Sasha was
well, it's perfectly appropriate for Tantra people to start the year off with a bang.
Yeah. So we were so delighted to join you in Austin in October. Sasha's funny. And can you tell our listeners about the program that we presented and what was going on? We were in your house for 2 weeks. It was an amazing time for us. You have this incredible Tantra community there in Austin. It flows over to Houston and the surrounding area. But tell us a little bit more about what
we
did.
Well, first of all, it was an honor to have you guys come join us and work with us and teach us some of the great things that you have been doing for so many years. We basically joined forces to create a combination program. You guys did a sacred sexuality weekend, and we worked with people throughout the week in private lessons, And then we did a sexual empowerment class that incorporates Tantra into having people totally own their sexual power. And then one of the coolest things that happened is we are working with some folks out of California to create a reality TV show. And so we are right now working on the sizzle or the promotion that we'll be presenting to Showtime and HBO and those guys based on what we filmed. And we also basically filmed all of the sexual empowerment workshop as well as a party afterwards to show people what it really, you know, Tantra living looks like, because it's not necessarily normal. And we want to show people, you know, what it's like to live tantrically in all of its glory and all the ups and downs and so forth. So it was a real joy to share it and teach it, and we'll see what happens when we finish the editing product.
Right. We're working on getting that sizzle. That's out of our hands right now. It's in the hands of the producers, so we're waiting for them. Yeah, do you have any updates? Okay. What did they say?
What's that?
Did you get any updates from the producers?
Oh, not other than the fact that they're in the process of editing. You know, they filmed about 60 hours of material, so it'll take a little while to find the few minutes that are really key. We're also looking at taking what we filmed and maybe making some other videos that can help people as well. But it might be another couple of weeks before the editing's finished. And in the meantime, we were also invited to go back to England on the morning show. And the original video or the interview that they did with us was so successful that they're flying us out to England to do a follow-up. And I believe over 10 million people have seen the first video. So we're hoping to get a big response a second time around, too. And help spread Tantra to everyone out there that doesn't know about it.
I miss where you're going to say the town or
to London, England. The morning show in London is flying us out next week to do a follow up interview with the morning show with Phil and Holly.
Oh, congratulations! That's wonderful. So, Melanie, what's happening with you? How is this for you? How do you feel? Tell us about what's going on.
Well, last year, 2017, was a busy year with lots of stuff going on, lots of traveling. And right now I'm enjoying being at home and enjoying taking some restful time for relaxation and reading and just enjoying some downtime.
You had a rock star schedule last year. You went to all kinds of places.
It was very busy. Lots of traveling. Huh?
Do you want to share where we went and what we did?
Oh, yeah. Well, last spring we went to Hawaii and met you guys and got to start learning from y'all. Then we went to, in July, we went to New Orleans and taught at a sexual freedom convention. And then we went and enjoyed a level 5 and beyond Tantra retreat from some of our other teachers that we took as students. And we taught several intensive workshops throughout the year ourselves. Then we went on a long road trip to the West Coast and went to Burning Man, the California Tantra Festival, and Naughty in L.A. where we taught, and the couples cruise where we taught. And then we went to Cancun and taught Tantra at Desire. And this month we went to Washington, D.C. and enjoyed touring D.C. and taught a little bit of Tantra out there and came back, spent lots of time with family, his family, my family, friends, and finally getting some nice downtime and just cuddling with our dogs and each other and reading and relaxing.
Wow, that was amazing. Tasha, what would you like to say? Where do you want to start this
show? What I've been very interested in is the generalization of the chakra system that we use in all chakra tantra to the whole planet, to the earth, so that when you get, not just look at yourself in terms of, say, your first chakra, your emotional self and your protectors of your emotion, you could say the same thing about the whole earth, how people are, everyone is concerned with security and freedom at the same time. You go up through the chakras, you go to the erotic chakra and the power chakra, the love chakra, the communication chakra, the vision chakra, and the spiritual chakra, and you realize that the same system that you can use to see a balanced human being who's integrating all those functions and judiciously from a center, applying them to their life, could also hold for nations and for the whole world, and that's what I've been thinking of lately.
So, excuse me.
What about you, Janet?
I'm sorry, I just took a drink. I came into this new year, it's the 3rd of January, and I'm very inspired to create peace and consciousness and people having conscious, healthy relationships. And I know Tantra is one of the critical factors of creating conscious relationships. And so I'm very excited about continuing this work. And looking to our next, whatever we create together, we kind of, everybody, the whole world shut down for the holiday season. It was like almost impossible to get anything done over the holiday season. So, it is a good time to relax and chill and just hang out with family and friends and that type of thing. So that's good. But that's the downtime. And now it's time for us to get busy here and make things happen. Because we're living in the most exciting times ever. It's the best of days. What is that? Was that the,
I agree.
It was the worst of times and the best of times each day. And so I'm looking for the yeses, for the juiciness, the aliveness, the consciousness in each and every moment. And looking for ways that I can instill that in humanity. Because it's really time to turn the tides once again into this Aquarian age of peace and love. And that's what Tantra is about. It's about getting in touch of that part of you that awakens your kundalini, that reconnects to source, that connects to your beloved, that creates conscious families and children and relationships. And it's a lot of work, but it's fun to do, and it's just a lot of work. It doesn't happen just naturally. It takes a little bit of time and effort, and so that's what we were doing. It was teaching relationship skills and going into the core and uncovering your wounds and how to get rid of and past these wounds and integrate yourself into wholeness and consciousness and awareness. So anyway, that was kind of like my theme and my dreams the last few days. I'm going to pass the talking stick to somebody else. Would you like to talk about 2018 and what it means for you, what you're leaving behind, and what you're starting, Sasha, and then we'll go round table there.
Okay, so
don't forget your books, too.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Your turn.
Okay, what Tantra means to me is the ability to form a coherent field with other people. Once you master your inner chakras, your energy centers, you can selectively open up your power chakra, for example, in business, but keep your sexual chakra protected and so forth. So it's such an incredible tool to start to use and to analyze and to see where it is you need to pace and then lead others with whom you're dealing with. And you could apply that to diplomacy if ever our diplomatic corps is restored, because the chakra system is a way of relating to all people.
Back to you guys. What does 2018 mean for you? How are we going to create conscious communities and a conscious world together?
Well, first of all, I think that, Scott, we are definitely in a period of awakening, and I think we're in a spiritual evolution time right now, and I see that all over the place people are kind of waking up and getting more connected and conscious and to what's going on with themselves and the world And I really see, I don't know what to call it, other than spiritual evolution or awakening. In Tantra, I think, is a big part of that. You know, it's funny, we just saw Star Wars, the latest one, last night, and one of the things that hit me is, like, the Force is real, you know? it's like sci-fi and everything, but the energy that's between us and around us is very much real, and when you breathe and slow down and notice, you can start to get in touch with that and use it in amazing ways to connect more deeply with other people and with the earth. And that's one of the many amazing things that Tantra does, is it allows people to connect with each other. And it's one thing to intellectually know we're all connected. It's another thing to actually feel the connection that you have with other people, actually take on their emotions and feelings and orgasms and, you know, connect with the earth and feel the living, you know, breathing, beings all around us and so forth. So it's really kind of cool that I feel like, you know, we're in a world where people are evolving into Jedis or something. I have yet to do the telekinesis stuff, but it's like a magic world that's opening up, people becoming aware of it.
Were you watching Star Wars?
I've always been a Star Wars fan. Yeah. So,
okay.
And love is the key. Love is the answer. How about you, honey?
The answer. It definitely is the answer. That's one thing. Every time I get there, and, you know, I get a lot of people calling me, and they're in a panic, and they have trauma and drama, and this and that, and it just seems like each story is worse than the one before, and at the end of it, just focus on love. If you can't do anything else other than that, just turn around and count your blessings and focus on love. We all go through trials and tribulations, and we come out the other side, you know, and love truly is the answer. Is that the answer of that movie? I didn't see it yet. No, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
I don't think it was in the latest movie, but it's another movie before. I think, and it's the key is love and acceptance of yourself, too. I think when people they all kind of accept and stressed out so far, it's just stopping, breathing, and knowing that everything is perfect. One of the lessons that's been coming to me the last few months is that there is kind of a divine plan, or there's, you know, I can just trust, relax, and know that everything is working out just the way it's supposed to be, but sometimes the greater cosmos is a better plan for me than I have myself. And when I really stop and look, I can see evidence for that all around me. I have pro-anoia, which means the universe is out to support me. And the more I believe that, the more I see evidence of it, and it's a beautiful way to live, you know, knowing that you're part of something greater than yourself. And so, and, you know, when I'm ever trying to make a decision, I always just come from love and what would love do. And that makes it easier. And if it's two choices that I have trouble choosing between because I like them both, I choose both in all. I think that's tantric as well. Have it all.
Go ahead, sweet.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the most dramatic things was with you, Scott, actually, because it's acceptance of all parts of ourselves. That allows us to really meet our basic needs. And so, you know, there's parts of us that we push down because it was unsafe or inappropriate to express them. But if we ask what those parts really need, we start to really be able to orchestrate and coordinate what we're doing in the world. And so one of the hardest things for most people to accept is the part that they have really fiercely aggressive parts in past lives where they may have killed people and things like that. And coming in contact with those kind of things and realizing those are just traces that you can really say, part of me that could kill other people in other lives, what do you need here and now? And what you probably always need for a part like that is appropriate assertion. And so I actually saw you, Scott, go through that. It was totally beautiful. Would you like to relate a little bit about your experience there?
Sure. You know, one of the cool things about Tantra is that since Mel and I have really been practicing together for the last 9 years, that we've had these amazing experiences, just got better and better. Like, we keep thinking our love life can't possibly get better, and yet something new that happens almost as well. That's 9 years. Then one of the latest things that happened, as they're alluding to, is that I got in touch with my past lives. And it was pretty profound because, you know, I had done some, I was kind of a warrior and knight, if you will, and I'd killed people in my past. And it was pretty heavy at the time because I felt all this guilt and shame for what I'd done in my previous lives. And at the same time, I got that, God forgives all, and, whatever God is. And I realized that this life and all future lives, also got in touch with my future lives. I realized that we're in an age where killing is no longer necessary. It's no longer part of what we need to do as a species to evolve. And so it was really interesting to get a glimpse of the fact that my soul is eternal, that I can love and accept all parts of myself. I have a better patience and a better appreciation for accepting all people, because it's like, no matter what you think you might have done or how bad, evil you think you are, whatever, I have a newfound appreciation and, can love and accept anyone, because we're all the same. We're all human. We're all, have flaws, but we're all ultimately love. And I don't think that our base self is, sinful. I believe that our base self is love, and anything that we might have done is just based out of, that's maybe not love, is just based out of confusion or ignorance or, conditioning of a world that wasn't quite ready for that. So I'm really excited about our future, because I got a glimpse of the future, and it all gets better from here. So, and I think to your point, the key is accepting yourself, loving yourself, and just doing the best you can, and knowing that if you don't get it right in this life, you've got another life or two more to get it right. So take some of the urgency and stress out of this life as well, knowing that you have many chances.
Yeah, and Peter, the more you accept yourself, the easier it is to accept other people, because you realize that the things you judge are always done by people just like us.
Yeah, there's nothing that can't be forgiven. We're all doing our best with what we got. And so, self-acceptance and self-love is the key. You can only love others and create love in the world to the extent that you love and accept yourself. So that's really a foundation. And, one of the things you alluded to, Janet, is that the access to feeling this amazing energy and this connection and, orgasmic bliss and so forth is really to delve into the icky parts and going into stuff that is maybe uncomfortable and clearing out, trauma, or it doesn't have to be trauma, it could just be rejection or shame or fear or guilt or any of this stuff that kind of blocks us and gets in the way of us really feeling who we truly are. And so we're all, magnificent orgasmic beings, and all this other stuff is, we just got to clear through to get to who our true essential selves are. We all have divine energy within us.
A lot of people do not accept themselves. That is a key issue. And what would you do if someone just was beating themselves? This is for both of you, and this is for all of you, actually, a question that we can go around the table. What if you find someone that is like, their inner critic has gone crazy, and they don't accept themselves, and they're beating themselves up? Tasha has his finger raised, but then we'll go around
the
table.
Oh, I think I say, hey, I'd like to talk to your inner critic. Critic, the first thing I want you to do is criticize yourself. How good a job are you doing as being a critic? Because a good critic says what the person's doing right, what's in the right direction, and gives them a small step that they could take to improve. And if you're doing that, critic, you're doing a good job. And thank you for talking to me, critic. Can you say when you came into those life and how you've served him or her and what your interests are in the present? Thank you, critic. Now I'm going to consult some other parts of me, too. And you do that, you stop judging other people, and you start using your critic to make your life more better.
What about you, Melanie? What would you do if somebody's inner critic was going crazy? How would you help them? Are you there, Melanie? Are you on mute?
Okay, I'm unmuted. All right, so it goes back for me. The beginning of our Tantra meditation is just sitting in gratitude for what we have and being grateful for all the things in our lives we have to be grateful for, and focusing on the positive and just breathing in through that, and then breathing in through love and acceptance for yourself and saying to yourself, I love and accept myself, that I am perfect exactly the way I am. And just letting that sink in and breathe into it, and just continue that meditation for as long as you need to just get situated in gratefulness, love, and acceptance for yourself.
That's great. God, how do you handle the situation?
Well, if I encounter someone, or if people that are listening, if you have someone that's like a inner critic. I think the first thing is to clear what their critic is, kind of like what Sasha said. I would first of all be an open listener. You know, if you can, if people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think one of the most powerful things we can do to support each other is just listen. And first of all, let them clear out whatever it is that they want to say. And because once, until they feel heard, they're going to kind of hold on to whatever it is they're trying to communicate or believe. And even if you don't necessarily accept it, you can be an open space called holding space to give them an area to vent. And I, one of the cool things about Tantra is that you can start to not just intellectually know we're all connected, but feel your connection with other people. So then the key is then to see if you can, once that's cleared, to, like Melanie was saying, get them to start focusing on what they can accept about themselves. You know, it's like knowing that no matter what they did or what they think is wrong, it can all be forgiven, or that, you know, there's good in all of us, that, you know, they can start focusing on what can they learn from that, or what can get from the inner critic that's going to support you, and just have them focus back on the positive, you know, like quieting the mind of, you know, monkey mind. It's like going in circles around all the things you have to do or critical about yourself and so forth. You know, meditation is really good for that, like breathing, slowing that down, quieting the mind. And again, it's your intention and your focus is really powerful. And so having your mind just focus on what are the things you are grateful for, what are the things that you appreciate and so forth. You know, what can you accept and love about yourself is a daily practice. It's something that all of us can continue to get better at. And, you know, we live in this culture where you're supposed to be modest and not say good things about yourself. But I think that's kind of I don't think there's anything unhealthy about loving yourself and about appreciating yourself. And so it's one thing that I'd like to see us do more of. But, you know, it's a step-by-step, so I guess to summarize, I'd say listen and see if you can shift your focus on what you accept and what's positive, and know that we're all the same, and no matter what you think you've done or how bad you want to beat yourself up, you know, you're doing the best you can, and we're all here for a reason. We have lessons to learn, and we can all improve. And so it goes back to loving yourself, you know. And if you can't love yourself, love others, and know that whatever you love in others, you also can only love because you have it within yourself. So anything to appreciate and love in others, you appreciate love within yourself by default, or else you wouldn't be able to recognize it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, we find that this basic technique that we use in Tantra of active listening, where you say in your own words what you hear, and you ask if you got it right, and is there more, and get the sort of sense of what they say, and see how they feel, and ask if there's anything you can do about it. That's active listening. Has actually been applied for world peace when Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat and Jimmy Carter were at Camp David trying to get some kind of peace between Egypt, Israel, and the United States, and they were about to fail. And these three grandfathers who used this technique of really getting to listen to each other and feel each other and get each other's emotions, they started crying. What are our grandchildren going to say? And Sadat said, well, you know, they'll probably kill me back home for this, but I'm going to sign the peace accord. And so to this day, there is peace between Israel, Egypt, and the United States, because these people practice active listening, just like we do in Tantra. That's world Tantra for you.
Great.
Yeah. And, Janet, do you want to add anything?
Before I met my husband, where I did a lot of work on myself, I took responsibility for my stuff, and I went inward and retrieved the lost pieces of my soul. And then I went into one of the parts of healing is to reach out and start working with other people. So I'm still in my healing. I think it's a lifelong process, and I'll be doing parts of it until I die. Because as soon as I get something healed, something harder comes along, and it's like the challenges are still there. That's just part of life. One of the things that I did in my early years here in Hawaii was I developed a tantric community. And we had a tantric support system, and we were available.
Yeah.
We had buddies. I had five buddies that I could call at any time, you know, because being one person, you wear them out. So we would rotate. We take turns listening and being listened to. And none of us were trained psychotherapists. You don't have to be. You just need to be kind. You hold space and you listen to people. And, of course, one of the greatest difficulties of being human is sexuality. Either you have it or you don't, or it's complicated in relationships and balancing that. So I really encourage listeners to find and develop some kind of support system. And that's what we're talking about, having these conscious relationships. They're not necessarily sexual, but Tantra isn't just all about sex anyway. It's about creating a community of people that all care and love for each other. And that's what I saw when I visited your Austin, Houston, and I went to other states, Tantra community. Everybody loved each other, and they were willing to sit down in processes which were very emotional, deep, personal, intense, and they sat there in non-judgment, you know, just their hearts open, and holding them when they cried, witnessing them when they yelled, and not running from the room or judging. It was beautiful. It was an incredibly beautiful experience. And, you know, if everybody, I had a couple friends a long time ago. When I met Sasha, they said, we see Janet teaching Tantra in grade school. And people go, how can you do that? Well, you can teach the basics of yoga and meditation. And as age appropriate, you can add additional information.
Sure.
But if everybody practiced Tantra, we wouldn't have this world we have today. We'd have a planet of peace.
I agree.
Somebody else take time.
Just to elaborate on what you said, Janet, is that the community, surround yourself with positive people, is really important, that because you become more like the people you hang out with. So, you know, having a community is key. And also, you know, another thing you said is responsibility. The key is being responsible for all the results in your life without blame and without people have those two things linked, like they make responsibility as burden, like it's their fault if something goes wrong. So take out the blame and the fault, but responsibilities that come from of empowerment, because anytime you blame someone else or you complain or you, you know, point the finger at all of your woes are based on something else, you take away your own personal power. So it's really important to know that you have the ability to change your life in any way you want, that everyone has the ability to create anything they want with themselves. And it's not anyone else's job. It's not the parents' fault. It's not, you know, sure, you might have things to clear and so forth, but the base of it is recognizing that you have divinity within you. You are the source of all your joy and all your achievements and what you want. And so coming from I'm responsible for me, everyone saying they're responsible for themselves, is one of the keys too to be able to create the life that you want. Sasha, you're going to add something?
Oh, that's still yes, right on. You don't others don't create your feelings. You create your own reactions to what's coming down.
And what you said about hanging around people, I have you know, friends that have gotten involved with people that are kind of alkies and druggies, and it changes your personality when that's all you get. The type of critical people you're if you hang out with those people, you start integrating some of their flaws into your beingness, right? So you may not start drinking and drugging, but there's just this lower mentality of blame, shame, victimization. So you gotta just get conscious somewhere if you're in this hamster wheel and this down spiral and just go, that's not who I want to be. That's not who I am. You know, find who you are at your core and then hang with people of like mind who have the same energy and characteristics and quality. Just because you're born to people or they're born up, you need to hang out with them if they're dragging you down. So that's one of the things that we have to be aware of. You know, who are we hanging out with? And I know my mother said that when I was a kid, and I was really strong, and I didn't go down that path. But it seems that the older we get, and we, you know, it's harder and harder to make friends. So it's better to just go out and find these groups that exist or help build one, and start pulling into your life those people that share the same core values. And don't hang out with people that break out. That's all. Follow your bliss. Follow your bliss. Sash, what did you? I saw you making faces. What? Go ahead. Or I don't know if you're reacting positively.
I'd like to hear from Melanie.
Okay, Melanie, it's your turn. Go for it. Unmute.
All right. Was there any question or just whatever I have to say?
We're just going round table with thoughts and ideas. We're mixing up our ideas and our voices, and just state your reality, what you want to talk about, what you agree with, what you disagree. This is open round table panel,
okay.
And you can introduce new topics if you want.
Okay. So one of the things that I like to do, and looking at like New Year time and planning out how 2018 is going to be, is for me, I'm really concerned or excited about balance. So for me, I'm always balancing my life, inner life and outer life. So as we talked about chakras earlier, there's the balancing of chakras helps to keep us healthy. And always whenever I'm doing sessions with people, helping to balance chakras is one of the big things that I do, and helps to bring about ease in their body, relax the tension, relax the anxiety, elevate the mood, and just bring our bodies into alignment. And then also just balancing all of the dualities of life. So balancing my work with play, balancing activity with periods of restfulness, balancing being with friends and being by myself, balancing going on adventures and traveling with being at home, and just, you know, finding balance. And as I look at the new year, I like to figure out, how am I going to design my life so that it is my ideal life, and finding balance in it. So sometimes I can get a little too excited with adventures and travel and whatnot, and I like to come back to balance. What feels balanced for me? So that goes back to why I'm enjoying reading and snuggling right now. So much activity and adventure and socializing I've been doing lately. So now I'm balancing out with just periods of restfulness and quiet. And, yeah, and I feel like that's a very tantric practice, is finding balance within ourselves, our bodies, and our outer world as well.
I agree. I love how you have your beautiful dogs and kitties, and you come home and snuggle. You've created a wonderful tantric temple, a place to live that's cozy and comfortable, and project withdrawal. You go out in the world and you're public, and you do your outreach program, and you touch people's hearts, minds, and souls, and you go on the radio and on the television, and you're flying. You know, you jet set and rock star, but then you come home and you honor that other part of you, that part that needs to self care and nurture and relax and spend time with animals. Animals are wonderful. What do you want to say?
This is just, I've been harking back to, Scott, what you said about how it's fine to take pride in yourself. In psychology that we use in all chakra tantra, we center ourselves, and so you need to embrace both pride and humility. If you're too prideful, mm-hmm. and you know, you're an egomaniac, people will stop relating to you. If you're just full of humility, you can't stand up for yourself. A balanced person, a person who's centered, can say, listen, you, part of you that is humble, part of me that's humble, and part of me that's prideful, what do each of you have to contribute to this situation? Then you go to your fair witness, and you look at the situation you're in, and you decide how much of each of those polar opposites of pride and humility you want to express or a mute in that particular situation that you can see that you're in. And that's what a mature, centered person does. And we try to do this centering with every single one of our energy centers or chakras, our emotional self and our protective self, our leader and our follower, all the different parts of us, they all have something to contribute. And when we realize that in ourselves, we can realize that the parts of others that bug us are merely resonating parts of ourselves that we haven't fully accepted. And when you do that, that's when you are no longer reacting to people saying terrible things to you. In just plain tantra, to have a visualization, one of my teachers said, you imagine there's this great big dung-eating demon behind you, and while somebody might be berating you about what a terrible person you are, you just let the dung-eater eat it and eat those words and put them back into the earth and recycle them, while you float love hearts from your center, from your heart to the other person's heart, and you say to yourself the mantra, I love you, I love you, I love you, while they're dumping on you, and the dung-eater is taking care of the dung.
Oh,
So, Sasha, I agree that pride and humility need to be balanced. Is it possible to love and accept yourself too much?
Too much.
It depends on how you define yourself, Scott. As I mature, I find that my sense of self includes more and more people and actually includes this whole planet and all the people on the earth. So that is part of myself, too. So it all depends on how
right.
you think of self. But what we mean by ego is the means the thing that I call I, that I call myself. And ego inflation means that it's all pride. Romeo said about Juliet, I can't say over the radio, but it starts with an S. She does.
he does.
Yeah, I guess my view is like you. When I love myself, I love others too, because I am like other people are an extension of me, you know? So it's like, the more I find that I love and accept myself, the more I find that I love and accept others, but it's not really the same thing as pride. I hear what you're saying. I feel that most people's problem is they don't love themselves enough. I feel that's a much more endemic of people out there, that they blame themselves or blame others or they're negative, you know, and beat themselves up. Most of us have very self-critical voices and so forth. And so letting that go and starting to have your voices that support you and are positive about you, I think it would help and serve most people.
Well, you do have to be careful. You don't get too full of yourself. You don't, you know, you got to get over yourself.
One of the tricks is to deal with your critic by up-leveling your addiction to perfection, which is impossible, to just a preference for excellence. Then you just do what you can in the time you have allocated, given your other duties, obligations, and things that you tend to. And so all boils down to a more basic principle, which is dig what you got, don't sweat what you've not. If you appreciate what you've got, then you'll draw more and more to you. That's abundance. And if you don't draw any more to you, you're happy because you dig what you got.
Right. I agree.
I forget what else to say. Anyway, so you wrote in a book called The House with the One-Way Mirror Floor about the evolution of consciousness, how you alluded to the identification of self. Can you give a rundown of that so learn to include others in your definition of self?
When you're little, you bite your own toes until you realize that's part of a part of you, so that the separate child starts to realize, well, there's a body and there's me. And then you hear your parents and they're, oh, well, there's good me and bad me. When you do something like or you dislike, and then pretty soon you can transcend good me and bad me. You can just say, hey, I'm a person they define me this way and sometimes they define me that way. And that's another level. Every time that you reach a higher level of consciousness, you have to get over the Oedipus complex of that particular level and transcend it and realize that what you thought wasn't you is really you too. So the next one is you start realizing you're like a truck driver driving this body around and you're separated from your body. And when you realize, oh my gosh, body and mind are really part of the same system, then you're a whole organismic person. But that's just a limited part too, until you fall in love or realize the love and form a field of another, just, you know, like your beloved and your kids and your dogs and your cats, and realize, hey, they're part of me too. Everything I do concerns them too, so that myself has then got a little bit bigger than that. And then I'm in a community and I'm in a street and I'm in a town and I'm on a planet and I love the earth and I love everything and everyone in it. And so you just keep expanding like that. And ultimately in existentialism, we call this, epoche, you realize that you are one with the origin of all in the universe, that out of the divine play of Leela that comes from the metacosmic void where everything is just inchoate, you start to have all these dichotomizations, but they're all the same in their real identity.
Right. So if you take into consideration yourself and the apparent other, and it usually starts with the person, your mother, father, brother, sister, or your beloved, your sexual loving mate that you maybe marry or stay with. But if we could expand that beyond, and that's what Tantra teaches us, how to expand and create a coherent field with other people, and that you don't have to have sex or not sex. You're just in a grid with people that you care about, and then it goes to animals. If each person is individual, and then it would all merge into each other, we would love the whole planet, and we would find systems that wouldn't destroy the world, which ultimately kills all of us. So this is, it's not just a fun thing to do, you know, with your lover. It's like, this is what we need to do to save the earth and all of its creatures and features and species. It's critical mass.
Yeah, I agree.
We need to critical mass and do it.
The natural state of people is loving oneness. And given the fact that you love everybody and everything, you get to be very selective with your involvement. Love doesn't mean involvement. It just means that you love.
Right. Love.
I think I said this
about
loving all beings is one of the keys of enlightenment.
Yes.
And when we all can unconditionally love each other and the planet, then we'll save it and ourselves.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like cutting off the nose in the middle of your face, you know, or try to cut off a limb. You couldn't do it because you would feel too much for the other to harm them. They're an extension of you. I can't do that behavior, that action, because hurting them is like hurting myself. That's the point you get to. You can't do it anymore. So
right.
I think we can get there with Tantra, because it's just how to move past our skin and encapsulated self-sense, which isolates us from the rest of the planet. Many people feel lonely. Besides acceptance, they feel lonely. They feel alone, but they're really connected to everybody. And so this helps us accept everybody, no matter what shape or form or color or, you know, gender or whatever. They're walking in whatever avatar they're driving. We learn to accept all beings, all consciousness in everybody and everything with Tantra. Go ahead.
And not just beings, but the earth itself. You know, it's like we have a saying, is like, once you orgasm directly with the earth, then you'll be more concerned to save it. But it's like you could actually feel the oneness with all things, you know, every plant, every rock, every atom, you know, that's what I was kind of referring to earlier. And when you have that level of love for the world and everything in it, then we'll start, you know, being more long-term thinking with, you know, saving our resources and not destroying the planet as well as each other.
Right, Sash.
Well, I just say that, you know, we certainly can have this abstract love and extension and feeling for everybody, but it's way easier for almost everybody I know to be intimate and say what's really going on to someone that they're having intercourse or other kind of intimate connection with. And so I highly recommend, even though Tantra is groovy when you do it solo, I recommend having partner or partners.
Yeah,
right.
I'll just reiterate that. Is that,
yeah, go ahead.
When I had Melanie, when I met Melanie about 9 years ago, even though I've been practicing Tantra for 20 years, it really started accelerating with Melanie, because then I could, instead of taking the subtle energy and sending it out and then recreating and so forth, I could send it into her and she could feel it, send it into me, and it was more powerful than when I sent it to her. So it creates this circuit, and it just really accelerated our Tantra journey and path and experiences and so forth. And it's fun, you know, it's like, it's much more fun to practice when sex is involved. Just meditating in silence, at least as far as I'm concerned. So a partner is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the Tantra techniques that we teach, especially for dudes, is how to just bring the energy up so you don't squirt and it's all over soon. And to prolong sex and to get joy in the other person's joy. That's the real, instead of focusing on yourself, you just let yourself merge with the other people and promote their joy.
Yeah.
And you learn
absolutely
how to navigate the water when you have a partner in life. It's we're not isolated solar beings by nature. We tend to enjoy relationships, being in relationship. And so with Tantra, you learn to navigate the waters together and to do the dance of life together. And that takes in all chakras and everything that that happens to one happens to both, and it's really it does accelerate your individual process of becoming conscious, because if that's your ultimate mirror is your relationships, especially your intimate relationship or ships that you're involved with in a sexual dynamic relationship.
And I can, you can know, everybody is inside of you too. I guess like Jesus said, the Father and I are one. That means that, you know, you have God inside you, and it's not something external. So that's a really good thing to remember.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're running out of time here. Is there anything we should do in a final question? Or?
Well, talk about your next events and where you're stuff
that's
like
that.
And I just want to point out, if you guys want to speak for a couple minutes about your books that you published, and I'm curious what your plans are for 2018.
Go ahead, talk about the books, honey.
Well, we have we have several books out, but the latest ones we've just done this year are All Chakra, Tantra for All Chakras. And this is a basic thing for a person to just work through. It's got all these exercises and examples in it where you can just work through things with your lover and get all kinds of very, very interesting things going. And then there's one called Teach Tantra, which is one of the very best things. If you're starting a relationship or you want to improve it, get the Teach Tantra book and you teach your lover Tantra. And you say, hey, I want to teach you Tantra so you can love me more better, as we say in Hawaii. You can love me better, as we say. Yeah. Anyway. And just going through these exercises. Well, what happens when you teach somebody else something, you learn it even better. And all the exercises have a turnaround. So you're teaching your lover how to love you better. And then you're saying, okay, now it's your turn. You take me through these cue sheets that we have inside this book, and I'll learn how to be a better lover for you. And the high with this is just totally amazing. And if you're a Tantra teacher, what you do is you get the Teach Tantra book, that's what you use to take for the class, and you have the students do the Tantra for All Chakras in a series of lessons that we have there, and it takes them through that. So that's two of our books. We also have another book called How to Really Love a Woman, and that's totally focused on the woman, since her physiology is a bit more complex than that of a man, and you need to understand her inner world. What would you like to say, honey?
You know, that was perfect. we have a couple more books we'll be bringing to you once we're interested eventually in certifying people as Tantra educators and trainers, because, you know, we're getting up there in age. we want to, you know, yes, some point in your legacy. What is your legacy? So we have a legacy we're building to lead to future generations. But also while we're doing that, we hope that we live longer, because we're working on things like physical immortality and the cures for all diseases. So those things are possible within this generation that's alive here. So I know it sounds like science fiction. The fact, we can do this. So living in terms of, we talked about earlier that we tend to destroy the planet because we're going to die and be out of it here on some subconscious level, and we don't care what happens in the future. But if you're still alive, you know, 100 years from now, you're going to treat the planet differently than if you're going to be dying and getting out of it and giving it to the next generation. That might be on a subconscious level, but we need to think in terms of we can live to be the physically immortal beings, because we are immortal beings on a spiritual level. And when we start integrating those two things, we create a more kind and loving and conscious planet for everybody. Okay, final words about you. What's your website? What are your events coming up?
Oh, yes. Our website is ecstatichearts.com, ecstatichearts.com. And we have all sorts of online trainings and in-person trainings and all sorts of things and tools to support you. Our next weekend intensive is called The Path to Ecstasy, and it's January 26th to 28th. It starts Friday night, and it goes to the weekend here in the Austin, Texas area. And it's a pretty good deal. It's less than $500, and it is something that will teach you all the core lessons, or many of the core lessons that it takes to become a Tantra master. And that, with that class alone, and you, a regular practice, it can completely transform your life in amazing ways. I mean, even now, 20 years later, after taking that class, I'm still growing and learning from it, because it's one of the few weekends that just keeps on giving, you know, over and over again, because there's never – I haven't found the end of Tantra yet. It's like, as much as the amazing experiences and stuff that we've experienced, there's always a deeper level. And so we highly recommend coming to that. And there's something about being in a group of other people, you know, 30, 40 people, of the energy and the community, you know, that we kind of talked about earlier, that really supports you through the process. So I think that's the most powerful way to learn Tantra. And then, you know, utilizing books and videos and things to support you on the journey is a great way to stay motivated, along with the community. Anyway, so that's, and then we have our own, we're going to do a joint program here in July. We haven't got the exact date and time yet, but did you want to say a little bit about the class that you'll be teaching when we work together again?
Go ahead, Sash.
Sash and Jada.
Oh, okay. One of the things we're going to definitely do more time is the amazing kind of breathing that we do. It's the very same for men. It's the very same kind of breathing that we do to make the energy go up instead of squirt out of our lingams. And so we do with the yoga itself. We learn how to inhale as we have more rooms in the rib cage, and exhale as we contract the lungs, and we follow that by a move called the belly hold and the pelvis hold that starts this energy going up your spine. Well, when I was just learning it as part of yoga and then as part of ejaculatory control, I thought I would apply it to other things too. So I applied it to long distance swimming and riding my bikes and running, and it makes everything easier and faster, and it makes you an energy bunny. It's really cool. And that's one of the things I'm going to teach.
That and more. And what are you going to teach in this show? We're out of time. Let's let Melanie say something, and then we're going to be out of time. Go ahead, Melanie.
Well, we'll be teaching how to access greater love, joy, ecstasy, and bliss, and learning how to stay in those states of higher enjoyment and bliss for longer and longer periods of time, and how to move through our more difficult emotions so that we can move through and release them versus staying in emotions like depression, anxiety, upset, whatnot. But move through that stuff and get to more of the good stuff.
Excellent. Okay, we're out of time. Any final words, Sasha?
Just one of the highlights that we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to touch the inner parts of female sex organs in a way that gives them incredible bliss and a squirting orgasm.
All right, and we are out of time. Thank you so much, sisters, for joining us on Tantra Talk, and we will be back with you again soon. Everybody, all together, say aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.